CQ, 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 calling all radio amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is GB2RS, the news broadcasting service of the Radio Society of Great Britain. It's read to you by G4NJH in Nottingham, where references in the script can be found either on the RSGB website or attached to the podcast at gb2rs.podbean.com. This is GB2RS News for Sunday the 3rd of November. Here are the main news headlines. RSGB President honoured by Raynet UK. Watch the RSGB November Tonight at 8 webinar. Encourage youngsters to get on the air during December. The recent Raynet UK AGM, the Brian Sindel Shield, was awarded to RSGB President John McCulloch, MBE, GI4BWM, for his outstanding contribution to amateur radio and Raynet in Northern Ireland. It highlighted in particular his outstanding contribution to providing emergency radio cover during his voluntary service with Raynet. The latest RSGB Tonight at 8 webinar is tomorrow, Monday the 4th of November. Mike Griffiths will present Listening to the Enemy, which looks at the experience of Scouser Harry Griffiths, G2DFH, and his move to the St. Earth receiving station in Cornwall. Like many other amateur radio amateurs, Harry was drafted into the military during World War II, specifically for his radio skills. During this live presentation, Mike will look at what Harry's experience was like as he started to work for MI6 and the mysterious Radio Security Service. Watch this interesting webinar live on the RSGB YouTube channel or special BATC channel and ask questions via the live chat. To find out more, go to the RSGB website under webinars. Youngsters on the Air Month is fast approaching and the RSGB would love you to take part in this annual event. Special call sign GB24YOTA will be active throughout December. Whether you're an individual, club, school or social group, this is a fantastic opportunity to host the call sign with the aim of getting youngsters active on the amateur bands. The Society would love to see Scouts, Guide and Cadet groups taking part too. Follow the lead of the two new RSGB Youth Champions and register now. Look for GB24YOTA on qrz.com to check availability and then visit rsgb.org/YOTA-month to find out how to secure your slot. Opening operating slots get booked quite quickly, so don't delay. The Society is aiming to have the call sign hosted every day during December this year to enable more youngsters to have a taste of amateur radio, so be part of this great goal. The Society is currently looking to recruit an RSGB member to the company's secretary. This volunteer position plays a key role in the Society's governance and provides vital support in running board meetings and annual general meeting. Stephen Purser, GW4SHF, took on the role temporarily after the previous company secretary stepped down. The board is grateful to Stephen for stepping in at short notice last year and is keen to find a good candidate to take the role forward. If you feel you have the necessary skills, would like more information or discuss what's required, please email gm.dept@rsgb.org.uk in the first instance. The board chairman will then contact you for a chat. If you email to apply for the position, please include a current CV. In line with all volunteer roles, the board welcomes application from people with diverse backgrounds. For full information, go to rsgb.org/volunteers. Jamboree on the Air, or JOTA as it's always known, as also known, is very busy with large numbers of stations and call signs active across the weekend. The RSGB would like to thank everyone who contacted the Society with details of their stations so they could be added to the RSGB website. It was great to see so many clubs and societies, as well as individual radio amateurs, working with scouting groups to deliver a brilliant effort for scouts across the country. Don't forget there'll be a report on JOTA in RADCOM. If you'd like to be included, please send details and photo from your event to radcom@rsgb.org.uk by the 15th of November. If you've ever considered progressing your licence from Foundation to Intermediate, the Bath-based distance learning team have a great track record with passes well above the national average. The next intermediate level course will run from January to May 2025 In order to take part in the course, all applicants must complete some pre-course work using BBDL systems. The closing date for applications is the 6th of December. The team will also be running a full license course starting in August next year. For further information on either of these, please contact Steve, G0FUW, via G0FUW at bbdl.org.uk. Do you have any spare time to support fellow amateurs? Are you passionate about the future of amateur radio? Do you support the work of the RSGB? The Society currently has a number of volunteer vacancies within the regional team and would love to hear from you if you'd like to fill one of the roles. This week, the RSGB is highlighting two vacancies in Region 9 for district representatives covering Oxfordshire and West London. If you live in one of those two areas you're interested in getting involved, please contact Region 9 Representative Ron White, G6LTT, via rrfigure9@rsgb.org.uk. If you live in a different part of the country, you can see all the other regional team vacancies on the RSGB website. The 19th International Amateur Radio Union Region 3 Conference is being held in Bangkok, in Thailand, from the 4th to the 8th of November. The RSGB will join the conference remotely, represented by Spectrum Forum Chairman Murray Nyman, G6JYB. There'll be a special event station in operation from the conference using the call sign HS19IARU. For more information, go online and search for IARU Region 3 Conference 2024. The ARRLS awarded a special recognition to the team representing the IARU at the ITU World Radio Communication Conference in 2023. The ARRL extended its appreciation to the team, saying that their outstanding contribution and results have benefited the amateur radio service worldwide. The team includes RSGB Microwave Manager Barry Lewis, G4SJH, and RSGB Spectrum Forum Chairman Murray Nyman, G6JYB. Please send details of all your news and events to radcom@rsgb.org.uk. Deadline for submission is 10 a.m. on Thursdays before the Sunday broadcast each week. Now for details of rallies and event, the Holsworthy Radio Rally takes place today, Sunday the 3rd of November, at Holsworthy Leisure Centre, Well Park, Western Road, Holsworthy in Devon. There are traders, bring and buy, area and catering. The venue has disabled access. Free parking and entry is £3 per person. Doors open to traders from 8 a.m. and to the public from 10. More information, email Chris, M0KNF, at boltonbicycles@gmail.com. The 12th Scottish Microwave Roundtable, GMRT, will be Saturday the 9th of November at the Museum of Communication, Burnt Island in Fife. Lunch will be provided and an optional dinner will be held in the evening at a local hotel. Online booking is available via the GMRT website at gmroundtable.org.uk or email to Colin, gm4hwo@gmail.com. Special event news, George MM0JNL is active as GB0GTS until the 18th of November, raising awareness of homeless military veterans in association with the Great Tommy Sleepout, organised by the Royal British Legion Industries. The station will be operating on the 80 to 10 metre bands using SSB. There may be some activity on 2 metres. George will be operating at least one full night, roughing it outside as part of the Great Tommy Sleepout. More details available at qrz.com. Special call sign GB200LB will be active from the 4th to the 31st of January 2025, celebrating the bicentenary of the invention of the Braille code. More info to follow. DX News, Maurizio IK2GZU is active as 5H3MB from Tanzania until the 11th of November while doing volunteer work at a local school. In his spare time, he'll operate SSB, CW and digital modes on the 80 to 10 metre bands, QSL via Club Logs OQRS, Logbook of the World EQSL or via IK2GZU. Contest news, the RSGB 144 MEG CW Marconi contest started at 1400 UTC on Saturday the 2nd of November, ends 1400 UTC today, Sunday. The exchange's signal report, serial number and locator. The International Police Association Radio Club invites all radio amateurs around the world to take part in its contest, which takes place every year on the first complete weekend in November. This year, the CW section occurred on Saturday the 2nd of November from 0600 to 1800 UTC. The SSB section takes place today, Sunday the 3rd of November, 0600 to 1800 UTC. More information about the contest and award program are available at iPARC, that's iparc.de. Tomorrow, Monday the 4th of November, the RSGB 80 metre Autumn Series Data Contest runs 2000 to 2130 UTC. On Tuesday the 5th of November, the RSGB 144 MHz UK Activity Contest runs from 2000 to 2230 UTC, all modes. On the 2 metre band, the exchange of signal report, serial number and locator. Wednesday the 6th, the RSGB 144 MHz FT8 Activity 4-hour contest runs 1700 to 2100 UTC, FT8 on the 2 metre band. Exchanges report and 4-character locator. Also Wednesday the 6th is the RSGB 144 FT8 Activity 2-hour contest, which runs from 1900 to 2100 UTC using FT8. On the 2 metre band, the exchanges report 4-character locator. If you're in one, you can go in the other, basically. If you're in the 4-hour, you can enter the 2. On Wednesday the 6th of November, the UK and Ireland Contest Club 80-metre contest runs 2000 to 2100 UTC using SSB on the 80-metre band. The exchange is your 6-character locator. Worked All Europe DX RITI contest starts 0000 UTC on Saturday the 9th of November, ends 2359 UTC on Sunday the 10th of November, using RITI on the 80 to 10 metre bands, where contests are allowed. The exchange's signal report and serial number. Radio propagation report compiled by G0KYA, G3YLA and G4BAO. They write, last weekend CQ Worldwide SSB contest showed just how good autumnal HF conditions can be. Many contestants work more than 100 countries or DX entities on each and every HF band. With a solar flux index of 238 on Saturday and 246 on Sunday, plus low KP indices all weekend, it was about as good as it gets. There were 2 3-hour periods where the KP index hit 4 and 4.33, but otherwise it was in the 1s and 2s. An X-class flare occurred on Saturday the 26th at around 07:15 UTC, but this had little effect on MUF's over 3,000-kilometre path, which was back above 28 megs quite quickly. The rest of the week saw numerous M-class and C-class solar flares and a KP index that did get up to 4 at times, but once again, the MUF remained above 28 megs during daylight for most of the time. Interestingly, there have been times when the critical frequency over the UK has hit 14 megs, making 20 metres almost a local chat band via near-vertical incident skywave or NVIS communications. These openings may be short-lived, so make the most of them should they occur. Nighttime critical frequencies have generally been around 4.5 to 6 MHz, meaning an MUF over 3,000-kilometre path in excess of 14 megs in the first half of the night and around 10 to 12 megs in the second half. The solar proton flux has been above the 10 MeVs warning threshold, but is now falling as of Thursday the 31st. This may improve signals that pass through the polar regions, such as the UK to the far west of Canada and Alaska and the UK to Japan. Next week, NOAA predicts that the SFI will start around 240, but perhaps fall to around 195 to 200 as the week progresses. ESA predicts that the solar wind speed could increase around November the 4th and cause disruption. As always, we're at the mercy of solar flares and CMEs, which could disrupt HF propagation, so we recommend keeping an eye on solarham.com for daily updates. VHF and up, the autumn equinox period continued to bring F2 layer propagation to 50 megs with almost daily morning openings to VK and JA and afternoon openings to the Americas for some. Stations in the far south and west of the island were favoured. Side scatter in the Indian Ocean brought in the JAs on a 90 degree beam heading, an effect noted on previous sunspot maxima. The autumn is typically a time for quiet, settled weather, a season of mist, and this is where we are going for the period through to the end of next week. It's worth a couple of reminders of how it works, since although it's unlikely to be pretty much the same picture, big picture of dominant high pressure, there will be subtle differences. Firstly, there are two types of high pressure, one that builds in warm air and the other in cold. The warm air version is the current offering, and this means quite cloudy conditions at times, with moist air below the temperature inversion and very dry air above the inversion. Second, the quality of the ducting is determined by the change of the refractive index across the inversion, and a large part of the refractive index change comes from a contrast of moisture. So signs of cloud and or fog are good omens for lift. It's possible we may swap over to cold air high later next week, which could lessen the tropo quality. Meteor scatter prospects are on hold, pending the Leonids meteor shower, which peaks mid-November. A dominant high pressure means that the rain scatter is not likely to be a big player for the gigahertz bands next week. There is a possible heads-up for aurora, since the solar conditions still offer chances for the KP index to rise. Anything over KP equals 4 is worth a longer look, so don't forget that watery signals on the lower HF bands, such as 40 and 80, are also a good sign. For EME operators, moon declination reaches a minimum, that is, maximum negative declination, next Tuesday, when the moon only reaches 9 degrees peak elevation and is only above the horizon for 6 hours between 1200 and 1800 hours. Path losses, on the other hand, are falling all week. 144 meg sky noise is moderate to high, peaking at more than 3000 Kelvin on Tuesday the 5th before dropping back to moderate levels. And that's it from the propagation team this week. And it's all from me likewise until next week.